Det är idag den 7 februari 1986. Jag sitter tillsammans med Signe Björklund i Molin, Illinois. Hon var född 1899 den 30 oktober i Salsnäs, Gårdveda i Kalmar län. Och kom till Amerika 1923. Så, du har också två andra namn här, Ida och Sofia. Och det kommer ifrån drottningen, det är väl din mamma?
Ja, Sofia, mamma. Tyckte väl det var det bästa, så hon namnade mig efter drottning Sofia. Ja. Så Ida, det var från mother's name.
Hon hette Ida Matilda.
Ja, Ida Matilda.
Ja. Var det några fler syskon i familjen?
Ja, vi var åtta.
Åtta stycken?
Ja.
Hur många pojkar?
Tre pojkar och fem flickor.
Tre pojkar och fem flickor, ja.
Den äldsta pojken, han arbetade här ute i Orion. En han var i det första World War.
Vad hette han?
Valfrid Danielsson. En han dog i England. De var vänt till England. Ja. And he was going to på manöver or whatever you call it. And he got pneumonia and you know that terrible Spanish flu at that time. And he couldn't make it. He died.
Over in England.
In England. So he was never over in Germany or anything. Uh-huh. And then they declared amnesty the next week after he died.
Uh-huh. In 1917?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
you remember that when they received the news in... when your parents received the news in Sweden?
Yeah. Yeah.
How long after did you receive the news about his departure when he died?
I don't even. I think they notified his wife here in America.
Well, he was married.
Yeah. And I had sisters and brothers over here, and they wrote back to us.
I see.
So I don't remember just how long it took.
And he was much older than you were then.
Oh, yeah. He was quite a bit older. About 8 years, I think.
So he left around 1912 or 10 or something?
Yeah, he was just about 19 years old when he left.
Yeah. Alone?
Yeah.
Did he come to any relation in Illinois?
Well, he came to Michigan first to Sanford because there was a relative there he wanted to go to. And he was there a year, but he decided it was better for him to come here and work out here in Orion. He worked for a farmer out there. His name was Wilson. So, and then when he got married, he worked as a hired man. But he was only married 6 months when he had to go out. So
he was drafted then?
Yeah, he was drafted.
Oh, did he work for an American?
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
So they drafted married men then?
Well, he had taken out his citizen paper. He was an American citizen.
Uh-huh.
So you see, he had to go. He had to take his turn.
Mm-hmm. So was he married to a Swedish girl?
Or? Yeah.
What was her name?
I lost track of names.
So many years ago, and you never met her either.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you did.
She moved after he died. She got remarried again, and she lived here in Moline. Karin Swanson was her maiden name.
Uh-huh. She came from Småland also.
No, I don't think so. Uh-huh. I can't remember what she came.
So you were eight. Åtta syskon,
yeah.
Som man säger. Ja. You went to school then in Salsnäs or?
Yeah, we went to Grönkulla.
Grönkulla småskola?
Ja, när småskolan var Flatull småskolan. Vi went to Grönkulla folkskola.
Folkskola,
ja. So that was just about all the education I had.
Ja. So your father, han var prästgårdsarrendator?
Ja. Yeah.
Och det gården heter Salsnäs?
Ja. Yeah.
And there was a pretty big farm with a lot of cows and horses.
Well, we had to, I suppose you had to furnish horses, foots for Preston. Well, he had to go and different things that you had to provide milk and eggs and stuff for the minister, and of course he had to pay for that. I mean, that went off the arrendet.
Yeah.
That's the way that worked.
So how old were you now then when you started to help out to milk the cows and go valle?
Yeah.
With the cattle?
Yes. Well, I was there too. I was 18.
18? You stayed on the farm then?
Yeah, I stayed on the farm. Then I went to work for a family in Målilla named Kratz. Han had a järnhandel. So I worked as a maid there for a couple of years before I came over here. Mm-hmm. Then when I left there, I came over here.
So the rest of your sisters and brothers now, did they also leave the farm or did they stay on?
Yeah, I mean, my oldest sister was 10 years older than I. She came over here. She was the first one that came over. But we had an aunt and uncle, an aunt, and we called him uncle because he was married to my aunt. He lived up on 3rd Street here in Moline. Mm-hmm. So she came to him, to their home.
What was his name?
Gustav Karlsson.
Gustav Karlsson. Was they a brother to your mother or father?
No, his wife.
Oh, he was married, yeah.
Yeah, his wife was my mother's sister.
I see.
She came over when she was 17.
17.
And you know, when she came over, she had a ticket, and she knew she had his address. I guess she must have written to them. And when she came, they were going for a trip somewhere. So they took her and put her in a boarding house to work, and then they left. She was only 17 years old, couldn't speak or nothing. But I don't know if it was a Swedish boarding house. It could have been some Swedish woman that worked it. I don't know.
So they went on vacation?
Yeah.
Well, nobody had vacation at that time, I suppose. So they had some other businesses.
Well, they took a trip anyhow. Uh-huh. So I thought that was kind of hard, you know, to come over. And
that was way back?
Yeah, that was way, 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 way back. Because she's dead, I mean, all this.
Did you meet her when you came over here?
Oh, yeah.
So they were all living, those people, then?
Yeah, they were living. Yeah. And then they went back to Sweden. And they came back and went to California for a while, and then they went back to Sweden again. And then they lived in Tantåker, where they were raised. They had an apartment there. And they stayed there too. Her husband died, and then she went. In the later years, she had to go to do they call them sjukhus or ålderdomshem or something?
Ålderdomshem.
Yeah, that's where she had to spend her last.
In Sweden?
Yeah.
So she went back to Sweden?
Yeah, she went back there.
Did they have any children then?
No, they didn't. So that's when my oldest sister started first to come over. Mm-hmm. Then my oldest brother went, because he went to Michigan first. Then I had another brother that came over and another sister that came over.
Oh,
so. And then me.
Quite a few people from Gårdvida over
there. Yeah. You know how this one starts and then the other one get the idea that they kind of like to go. And
did they send money or a ticket over to
you? Yeah, they sent ticket to us.
To all of you?
Well, yes.
I see. So they.
And then as we worked, we paid it back, of course.
Uh-huh. But they all sent tickets over then for
to
get started. How were they now when you came here as a green Swede? Were they helpful to you and took care of you? I mean, your sister, she had the kind of experience, I mean, be left alone there for a while.
Yeah.
It was almost a little careless to.
Well, when I came over, she was married and had a home.
Oh, so you stayed with her then?
For a while, yes.
I see.
And she lived in Batavia, Illinois. And there is a place, they call it Bellevue, because now they have, it's a home for young unwed mothers now, but at that time they had Lindrit, mentally ill, I mean, people that was just not regular bad cases, but a little bit off, you know. And I worked in the kitchen with the crew in the kitchen.
Oh, you worked there?
Yeah, I worked there for quite a while. Then I worked for a family in Geneva named McDougall's. He was a banker in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He went back and forth, and I was there for 11 years.
11 years?
And then I married my husband, I met him here in Moline.
So when did you come to Moline then? In
1937.
Oh, 37 to Moline?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I was 37 years old when I got married, so.
So when you, the Depression years, you spent in Batavia then, or in the,
yeah,
the Chicago area?
Yeah.
And you had work all the time?
Yeah.
You didn't have any?
I have worked as a maid, but there was always plenty of work. I mean, I didn't had, I mean, there was always something to do.
Yes. So, but you remember though, there was a lot of bachelors.
Oh,
boys,
yeah.
Boys, they had no work at all.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You have to go to the soup line and everything like
that. Oh, terrible.
There were no ladies or women in the soup lines.
No.
At that time.
No, you see, did that.
They all had a job.
Yes.
There were only men in the soup line.
Well, you know, those richer people, they didn't pay much for their maids, or, but they could afford them, and they had a lot of them. So I mean, people always got something to do somewhere. I mean, the women folks. I guess it was worse for the men.
Oh, because they couldn't.
There was nothing for them.
But the girl then, she could get a job then almost immediately, the same day she went out.
Yeah.
And did they go to an employment agency to get a job, or did they go by, how did you get your job, for instance?
Well, my sister just called those people, and we just went over there, and that was it.
So then they,
you got it.
They have a recommendation that your sister called, and
yeah, that's it.
She watched, you know, for that.
Because she knew some of the people there. So maybe that helped, I don't know.
Well, it probably did, because if they knew her, and
yeah,
then they knew that she wouldn't.
But I know several girls that worked out like that in for families, but they all had work. I mean, it wasn't hard to get, yeah. But nowadays, you know, they have to pay so much, they don't hardly hire very many.
So they price themselves up.
Yeah.
Did you belong to a church then, the Swedish church in Batavia?
No, I didn't. Oh. I joined Salem here after my husband died. We didn't belong to a church, we just went here and there.
Oh. So how about the organizations now in the Batavia area? Like,
oh yeah, I belong to WAS. I joined that almost right away.
In Batavia?
Yeah. And I belong to the Good Templars in Batavia and to the Ladies of the Vikings.
Oh, so you had three organizations?
Yeah.
So were you an officer then? In
No, area? I wasn't an officer, but I used to go there quite a bit.
Oh. And you had the hospitalization, the benefits? And
yeah.
So there was a good coverage, though, in case you got sick then?
Yeah, you see, that's what this lodges was really organized in the beginning, to help each other, because, you know, the people came over, immigrants, and they had nobody, and if they got sick or something. So they had this sick help, and you got so much a day if you were sick, and so much if you died in funeral expenses and things like that.
So there was a safety to
it. Yeah, that's just that.
And you didn't have to drop out during the Depression?
No.
A lot of men, they had to drop out. They had
yeah,
to
I know it.
So that's interesting. So there was actually the ladies or the women that kept the Vasa and Viking going.
Well, it seemed to be plenty of men folks there too, I mean.
Yes, but a lot of them dropped out though.
Yeah.
Financial reasons.
Because there were, oh, it was quite a bit of farmers that came in that belonged there too, I suppose, that they had joined.
In the Batavia area,
yeah.
I suppose. Yes, but not so many farmers here in the...
No, but in Batavia there was quite a few that belonged to that Vasa.
And they didn't suffer that badly, in other words, they had their cows and the milk and
oh, yeah.
And so they could always...
I didn't know anybody that really suffered, but I know when I was there. I heard of them. The set in Chicago was terrible.
You didn't go into Chicago for any meetings or anything like
no.
that?
No. We used to go there shopping once in a while. With some other girls, we would go in there sometimes on our days off and go. It wasn't too far to Chicago.
You took the railroad.
Yeah.
Railroad.
Got in.
Good transportation in those days.
Yeah, it was.
So you had Thursday off then in the week?
Yeah, we got Thursday off.
And no Saturdays and Sundays off?
No. Why
was that? You couldn't get the Saturday off? Were they
well, the people, when you work as a maid, they want to eat on Saturdays too, you know.
They never fixed their own food?
No.
They never did that.
That would be too much work.
You never saw them, you know, like regular people, they can have a sandwich, you know, for lunch.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be
served.
Served and yeah. A table set.
Yes.
How about their kids now? Did they have any kids in the family you worked?
Yeah, they have three of them.
Were they brought up the same way to have everything served
yeah.
for them? And
oh yeah, they had a maid for the kids upstairs that were taking care of them and saw that they were dressed and come down and sit properly.
I see. And they ate at the big table then?
Yeah,
with the
sure.
Uh-huh. Did they say a table prayer, for instance, when they sat down to eat?
No, I never saw them do it.
Never that,
that. No, I don't think so.
How about the kids now, if they wanted a snack, something you always call it, you know?
Oh yeah, when they come from
school. They do that from...
Yeah, they would come in the kitchen and they put some on the kitchen table or have something to eat that way.
But the grown-ups will never do that?
No.
So there was like in the military? And there was regular hours, and it's supposed to be exactly that time.
Yeah.
Same time every day.
Yes. So that's why you never had Saturday or Sunday off.
Because
Papa be home on Sundays, and it had to be Sunday dinner, and it had to be things to be done.
How about breakfast Sunday morning? Were they early risers or?
No. Well, they came down later on Sunday mornings.
Oh, I see.
And they didn't always come at the same time.
So the table was set then? There was
they had to eat at the dining room table and they had to be served. So
how did you take this job? Was it easy or there was a...
I knew some girls that lived next door and the people had been asking around if they knew of anyone that they could recommend that they could get. So they mentioned my name, so that's the way I got in.
Was it an easy job for you to do it? Did you like it?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. They were nice people.
And you didn't do any cooking or cleaning or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I did cooking.
Were you cooking too?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And this all you did then when you cooked?
Oh, yeah, I cooked.
You didn't have to clean the house or anything like that?
Well, I have to clean some downstairs. The other girl did the upstairs. So.
So they took care of that, yeah?
Yeah.
And then when they went on travel, I suppose you could get a little bit easier. You could
yes.
take it easy. And
sometimes I got a whole month's vacation because they would go off in the summertime. So I didn't have to stay there.
Oh, I see. Did you get paid though for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So then you had a 4 weeks vacation long before other people. And then you got used to all the kind of different modern things in the kitchen. Different ice boxes and refrigerator. Did they have refrigerator?
Oh yeah.
They had that?
Oh yes.
Now, I know they had ice boxes, but did they have a refrigerator?
Yeah,
like
they had that. Yes.
Oh, that was quite early though.
Yeah.
And they had a bathtub and shower?
Oh yes.
Shower too?
Showers over the tub. Like over the
tub. Oh, they had that?
Yeah. Oh yes.
And hot and cold water and good heat in the house. Was it cold heat?
They had cold heat first to start with, but they changed it to gas while I was there.
And there was hot water heat then?
Yeah.
With radiators?
Yes.
So there was different living than in Salsnes?
Yes.
What did you write home to mother now when you wrote back and say where you were working and what... How do you...
try to explain to her how we lived and how we...
Could she understand that? What did she answer back? Did she
I don't know.
Question you about something or...?
I can't think of anything special.
Oh. And then in 1934 you went back to Sweden?
Yeah.
What was the reason for that? Did you get homesick then?
My younger sister Edith was over here then. She was 3 years younger than me. And so she was wanted to go home, so we decided we would go together.
How long had she been there then? How many years had she been here then? She came after you?
Oh, yes. Oh, golly, I don't remember. Oh, I met in about maybe 5 years or something.
Oh, I see.
Anyhow, we went home and stayed home for the summer. went back in the fall.
So you went home with the Swedish American Line then, Kungsholm?
Yeah, or yeah, Kungsholm.
And which ship did you come on?
I came on Kungsholm.
Kungsholm too?
Yeah, but I don't think, I think there was another boat. I think they named this new one after the other one.
Oh, I see, that could be.
I think they had, if they had rented a boat, I don't know, but that was also called Kungsholm. But this one, this the one we went home in 1934, that was rather a newer boat.
Mm-hmm. So you have been able then to pay back the ticket to your uncle or
aunt?
And save a little bit money too then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
of course, you see, when you work for a family, you have your room and board and everything, so the money is, money you get is more clear money.
Oh. Did you put those money in the bank?
Yeah.
Every week or every month?
Well, as much as I could.
Oh. So when you went back 34 now with your sister, what was her name?
Edith Danielsson.
Were there a lot of people going back to Sweden?
Oh yeah, that boat was full.
It was good.
There were lots of people that went home for vacations.
Oh. And both your parents were living then, 1934?
Yeah.
So what did they say then when they got the two girls back?
Yeah, I hope they enjoyed it.
Had they hoped for you to stay in Sweden then at the time? Had they hoped for
it? Oh, no, I don't think they expected us to stay. I don't think they thought we would stay.
Maybe they thought you and your sister were coming home to look for a boyfriend or something. And get married and get a little farm. You were not interested for farming at that
no.
time?
No. I don't think I would have liked to live on a farm.
Were you a little spoiled then, you think, after so many years now in a beautiful home and with everything easy to work and,
yeah.
and coming back in Småland and marry the farmer?
Yeah.
Would you have taken that?
I don't know.
Different.
Would have been different again.
It would have been different?
Yeah. You have to carry in the water and carry wood for the stove and
oh.
I don't know.
So you stayed home the whole summer?
Yeah.
Oh, and you didn't work then?
Yeah.
You didn't work in Sweden then for the summer?
No, we didn't do much work. My parents lived, they just had a house then. They didn't live then. They had to move to Högsby.
They had left the Arendegården in Salsnes?
Yeah. Just bought a house. They just lived in a house.
So they were retired then?
Yeah.
I see.
So.
And none of the other kids had taken over the farm?
No.
They were all gone off in different
directions? All was gone.
And how many were in the United States now, of those eight kids? You and Edith?
And Esther and Helga and Carl. Carl went back to...
And then Walfrid, he died
there. Yeah, he died.
In England. The whole family on, was there? Was just your parents? Why didn't you tell your parents to come back to you back?
Oh, I don't think you could ever get them to come over.
They had no...
That'd be too much of a move.
They'd be too old too, I suppose.
I think so.
And you didn't find a gay boyfriend over there when you went back?
Well, no, I met him here in Moline.
But you didn't have any old schoolmate or conversation?
Yeah.
No. And your sister Edith, she went with you back again?
Yeah. And she married a farmer here, but she got sick and died. She's gone.
Oh, I see.
She's been dead for about 5 years.
So did she work in Moline then when...
Yeah, she worked for Augustana got his house down there that...
The house on the hill?
Yeah.
Denkman?
Yeah. That they didn't call him name.
Weyerhauser?
Yeah, that big house.
The Hallberg? No, not Hallberg. Wasn't it Denkman and... and Weyerhauser.
That's it.
With the plywood.
That's what.
She worked there.
Yeah, she worked there most of the time. Uh-huh. She worked for Mrs. Getz for a while, for a couple of years. Uh-huh. But she worked for Davis.
He was the president of the bank?
Yeah. So
but there was another lady that worked for Davis, wasn't there? Selma Söderqvist?
She might have worked there too, you know.
She worked there, yeah. So your sister was cooking then? And
yeah.
taking care of the whole of the house.
Yeah.
But it was, and she worked there many years.
For many years. I don't know how many years. I can't remember even.
Did she marry during the Depression or after, like you did?
Right after the Depression.
Right after.
She married a couple of years after I did, so it started to pick up a little bit. They were kind of lucky because, see, he bought this farm when it was way low, got it for, I think, for the mortgage. And then things started to go up, you know, get up and up and up. Mm-hmm. So.
So he had a farm then in Orion or?
Lynn Center? 3 miles west of New Windsor.
Oh, I see, New Windsor.
Yeah.
Oh. And he was a Swede?
Yeah.
So you met Petrus Björklund then one day here in Molin, or how did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he was a good friend of my sister and her husband that lived then. My sister Helga and her husband. He used to live with them, even board with them for quite a while. So he was always there, you know, when I was there on my vacations, he was always around. So.
And then he asked you to move to Molin.
Yeah.
And quit your job.
Yes.
And then you had to be on your own. What kind of work was he doing then?
He's a carpenter.
Carpenter.
He was a darn good one.
Oh, I see.
I mean, he was very...
He was a carpenter from Sweden then?
Yeah, but he was only about 19 when he came over. But he had started with that. I mean, he'd done some of it. Mm-hmm. And then when he came to Miskat, the people he went in with there, he was a carpenter, so he worked with him and gradually got in more and more into it.
So he was his own boss then, so to speak, or?
Well, he worked for others, but he would take charge of jobs, I mean. Like some big places, you know, he would take hold of it. And,
mm-hmm. And there was his job all the way until he retired?
Yeah.
As a carpenter?
Yeah.
So you quit your job then and?
We were married.
And you married in 1937?
Yeah.
And after that you didn't work?
Yeah. No, I didn't work then.
Was there the custom with the people when they married that the wife stayed home and and the husband was the provider?
Yeah. It used to be that way. Because nowadays I think that the women's work just as much as the man.
The man stays home instead.
Yeah, they said he can't get along on one wages. They have to have two wages.
Yeah.
Well, because things are high and people want to live high.
It's a different...
Different what you expect and how you want to live.
That's right. So, you married an apartment in 1937 when you married?
Yeah.
What church did you marry in Salem?
No, we were married in Joliet. We were married at the parsonage of the mission church.
Oh, I see. There was some friend of yours then you knew down there, or why did you go to Joliet?
Oh, it was my vacation, and we just went and got married. We didn't have nothing special, no big doings or anything.
No. And then you came back here then?
Yeah.
So where did you go for your honeymoon?
We didn't go on a honeymoon even.
No?
Because he had a job and he couldn't leave it.
Uh-huh. And you married in the summer then?
Yeah. Oh.
And at that time, vacation was not known. You didn't take any vacations, I suppose, because if they were off work in the winter time, they had to be the vacation time.
Yeah.
So.
When you work for somebody, like if he was a carpenter, you can't just quit. You have to.
To finish up.
That's it.
So did he work for Axel Carlson?
Yeah, he worked for him. And he worked for Horst, and somebody with the name of Horst, that was way back.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you bought this house,
1950 we bought it.
1950.
Yeah.
Well, there was already a house built then?
Yeah, it was like it's now. We done quite a bit of repair work, but it was the way it is. Mm-hmm.
But this was a new neighborhood then at that time. Fairly new, or building out more and more this way.
Yeah, that's it.
So, and a lot of Swedes lived up around here.
Yeah.
A lot of Swedes.
Yes.
Mostly Swedes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
No Belgian people around here. Belgian people?
Yeah, Belgian people. They're up on around 7th Street.
7th?
7th Street and out that way.
That way?
Yeah, out 7th, around 7th Street. Oh. Some call it Antwerpen because there's so many.
What do they call it, Antwerpen?
So many.
So the Belgian people now, they have, they stay in their section of town and the Swedes stay in
Well, now the next door man down here, he is, well, he's, his father was, his mother was Belgian, his father was from Holland.
Oh, I see.
And he is married to a German.
Oh.
So they're not, I mean, they're like next door, they are really very, very good people. They're been very, very nice to me. They're really wonderful people.
So the father was from Holland?
Yeah, his father was from Holland. And his mother was from Belgium. And then he married a German girl.
So how has that affected his life now? Is he Swedish or German or Belgian? Or?
Well, he is Holland, Belgian or
Holland.
I don't know.
Is he interested in Swedish things?
Not too much, I don't think.
No?
They are more for the Belgians.
So they are stronger?
They
what
are,
kind of religion does he have then?
Yeah, they go to the Catholic. They're Catholics. They go to the Catholic church down here, the Sacred Heart.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's where they go.
So, but they seem to be nice to the Belgian people.
They've been very, very good to me.
Oh.
And the woman on the other side here is also Belgian.
They stay within the boundaries, and as they get it, so they take care of it.
Yeah.
So in you continued in Vasa then, and how about your husband? Did he join Vasa too?
Yeah, he belonged to.
To Noble.
Yeah.
To 88.
Yeah, we both belonged there.
Oh, and Vikings.
The Vikings I draft. He never belonged to the Vikings.
Oh, so he only belonged to Vasa?
But he belonged to the Good Templars, we always belonged to that.
Oh. And they had a nice camp on Rock River.
Yeah, they did. That was sold.
Yeah, it was sold, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, to tell you, the members got older and older, and it was harder to get any young ones in. And there was a lot to take care of out there.
Well, and
I guess they just got tired of it, so. And there were things that would have had to be done if they were going to stay. And so they decided the best thing was to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. How about the young people? Did you have any children, you and your
no,
husband?
No, I didn't.
What happened to the young people now? They didn't carry on?
No. It's awfully hard to get any young ones to join. You can't blame them because they go to a school here, high schools, and they have their doings and their interested things. And they're not interested in these old things, you know, like lodges and stuff. It's hard to get anybody, any young ones to join.
How about the temperance organization?
Good temperance.
Their children will be staying temperance too, though? I mean,
no, they don't. We're getting down to where we are only 15 members. And we're all old.
And there were a lot of members 50 years ago.
Oh, golly, it was a big lodge.
They were as big as Vasa almost.
Oh, yeah.
Dances?
Oh, yeah. And dances and dinners and stuff going on. But as you grow older, you get tired of doing things. And
too much work, of course.
If you can't get any younger ones interested, why? It's hard to keep it up.
Yeah, there seems to be an end on the line.
I think all those lodges will die out.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
It would be too much for a few to work
to keep
with
it up, and there's not enough interest.
No.
Because now you see there isn't any immigrants coming over. I don't think there's anybody comes over. And
very few, if there are any.
Very, very few. And when they came over a lot, you see, the first thing they did was they wanted to be with some Swedes and they joined those lodges.
Yes.
And that's how they kept going.
But there is no need for it now.
No,
the kids, Do you think it's hard for parents to explain to the American-born children what Sweden is and what it means to the parents? Do you think they can get the feeling?
I think it's hard.
Hard to explain?
Because some of the younger ones, they like to go over there and see it, of course, just for seeing it and see what it is like and stuff like that.
But having program and talk about it is very hard to explain.
I think so. I don't think they have no interest in it.
It's hard to bridge, build.
They are Americans, they are born Americans, and this is their country. And
have you noticed that the people that try to push onto you, for instance, to be only American, forget about the Swedes and stuff like that, have you noticed that, or have you been free to pick anything you wanted? In other words, they had told you, for instance, no, you are in America now, forget about Sweden, you are supposed to be patriotic.
Yeah,
have you got the feeling sometimes, or?
I did when I used to work out, because you work with somebody that's not Swedish, and they'll put you in your place. You're here, you're making your living here. And
well, they wanted you to know that?
No.
I see. So you never talked Sweden with those people?
No.
They were not. They didn't ask you any questions about it?
No. Yeah.
No interest?
Yeah.
So you got the message pretty fast then?
Yes. Yeah.
So there was, you would think though, I mean the people, I don't care who they were, they would ask a few questions, you know, where you came from and what you were doing and what you, did you ever ask that?
Yeah, I think maybe some would, but not interested.
They were not going into details?
No.
That's, they only want you to be there and do the work, and this is all we are.
Yeah, this is your country, and I'll forget about the others.
How about politics now? Have you been persuaded to be a Republican or a Democrat?
Well, you know, some will talk to you, want you to be this or that, but you have to make up your own mind and be what you think is right. So
when you started to be able to read and the newspapers, you made up your own mind?
Yep. That's just that. I mean, you try to listen to both sides and try to figure out which side you think is right. And when you vote for the man. I mean, you don't vote for the party. I mean, in the final things, you can vote for whoever you want to. And you don't have to vote straight Republican or straight Democrat. You can pick the man. But you will have to be very interested in finding out how, which one is the best. I mean,
one would think, you know, the party would know who they elect.
Yeah.
But you can't trust them.
Yeah.
So, when did you vote first? For Roosevelt in 30 was the election.
You can't vote until you're a citizen. I took 5 years to be a citizen.
So when did you become a citizen then, in the 30s?
I was here. It took me exactly 5 years. I had took the first paper the first year. I was maybe 38 when I took the paper, 39, 40, 41, but 43 when I had my papers.
Oh, I see. So you were not able to vote for Roosevelt then?
No. Yes, I think I did vote for Roosevelt.
It was 40 and 44. 44 probably last time.
No, how do I figure? I was here when I was 24 years old. See, at 23, I was 24 in the October, after part of October. And I got them in 5 years. I was 1929. I had my paper. Sure, I voted for Roosevelt.
You also had the chance to vote for Hoover.
I don't remember if I voted for Hoover or what.
Well, you worked with the money people.
Yeah, but they were all Republican.
They were all Republican?
Oh, yeah, they were so Republican.
They didn't persuade you to vote for Republicans?
No.
They never did that?
No.
No politics discussed? Were they religious, the people you worked for?
No, they weren't really. Not much.
They live in a different world.
Yeah, that's it.
And how about the children now? Did you get to know them better than the than the older people in the family?
Oh, yeah, we were more with the kids than we they were more around us. But they're old people by now. I mean, they were about 9, 12, and 14 when I left. One became to be a doctor, I knew. I don't know what the other ones did. One had a job out in some other country somewhere. I don't know what the third one did. So after I left the job, I kind of lost track of them.
No connection with them?
Yeah.
Anymore. And the girlfriends you had that worked in the houses in Chicago, Batavia, and the house in Moline area, they also married eventually and settled down in their own houses?
Well, some are, and two girls that I've worked with, they're both dead. See, I'm an old lady, some of the people are gone.
But there were also girls though that stayed on in the family all their life, never married.
Yeah.
Isn't this a strange story? They could give up marriage for be dedicated to one family.
Well, maybe they just stayed on and on.
And then one year after another, and pretty soon they got too old to...
Yeah, I suppose. Some got married, I knew some of the girls I knew, they got married and left their jobs. One moved to Aurora, and they got out, you know, moved a different directions. And you lose track of them.
So when you got married now and moved away from this, you worked there for 11 years, you said, in one place. I'm sure you got a little bit spoiled though with the easiness you could do the job and so on. Now you came home married. Did you tell Petrus that you wanted this thing out to make it easy for me and this thing?
No, I've not been a person that asked for an awful lot.
So you adopted right into a situation.
Yes.
You took one thing at a time.
That's right. No, I haven't expected an awful lot of life. I mean, I haven't been very demanding.
No, but you would think after 11 years,
yeah,
you've got something in your head, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this can be done easier.
Yeah.
For instance, they had a washing machine, I suppose, in the
Oh, place, sure. Well, I bought the washing machine when I got married.
You bought the washing machine?
Oh, yeah.
See, there was one thing. You didn't want to go back to the scrubbing board.
No.
But there were a lot of homes that didn't have it, though.
Yes, I know.
They had to do with the old scrapping board.
And I had one girlfriend in Batavia. She got married to a farmer. And
that was hard life.
Yeah, but she's back there. They retired and they live in Batavia.
So how about the rest of your brothers and sisters now over here? Are they all dead? Are you the last one?
Yeah, they're all dead. I'm the only one alive.
Only one left.
They're all gone.
But they have, you have nieces and nephews, though, that...
I got two nephews. One lives in Clinton. And he was awfully, awfully sick last year. He had a lung removed. And he almost died on it because he got pneumonia in the other lung after he had the first one removed. But he lived through it, and he's still here. Mm-hmm. And then I have one nephew up in... Iron Mountain in Michigan,
yeah.
If you know what it is.
Oh, yes, I've been there.
He's a minister, he's for the Lutheran Church.
What is his name?
Harold Faust.
Faust?
Faust, F-A-U-S-T.
Oh, I see, Harold Faust. Uh-huh.
So that's where he is, and he is about 60, he'll be 63 this year. So you see, even the nephews are getting old and retired.
You're getting old too. Oh, so you have some... And in Sweden, there's no way left.
I got a nephew in Gothenburg.
So
I got some cousins in Målilla. Just had a letter from her the other day.
So when you... There were quite a few people from Goldwyd and Målilla here in the area. Did you meet for some reunion or anything like that over the years here, or only occasionally when you bounced into each other? You didn't have a Smålandsförbundet or Smålandsklubb?
No.
You never had the Målilla?
No.
But there were a lot of Smålandingar here though.
Oh yeah.
But you never had your own group?
No.
You met through Vasa then? Or,
yeah.
Or Vikings?
Yeah.
So after 1934, you went back then. Was that the only time?
You never went back to Sweden again after
that? No, I didn't. I thought I was going to, but I never did.
So your parents now, when did they die then, in the 40s?
I can't remember the year. My mother was 85 when she died, and my dad was 89.
Uh-huh. And your husband, did he go back to Sweden for a visit?
Yeah, he was back in 34 too.
34.
Because that was during the Depression, and he had nothing to do here. So he went home, and he had a brother that had a farm, so he stayed with him, helped him on the farm. He was home for 3 years. But then he had to come back or he would have lost his American citizenship. And of course he wanted to come back anyhow, but I mean, he stayed home for 3 years.
So he made it back then just before the war started?
Yeah.
So if he had stayed another...
No, he went back after... he was home in 34, 35, 36, I 37. Think he came back.
So he came back then. And was he the only one from his family here?
Yeah. Didn't have anybody here. Of his own family, he was the only one. Mm-hmm. When he left with Sweden, there was a whole group of them that went together when he went.
And he went to Michigan?
Yeah, he went to Michigan. Because uh-huh. That's where, well, there was a man and a wife, and they had a little child. They were home for a visit. So when they went back, this whole other group went back with them.
I see.
So.
They must have said something very good about America.
They must have. So there was three of his friends that went to Michigan, three brothers.
And did they stay in Michigan?
They stayed in Michigan until they died. They lived in Minneapolis now for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And then there was a whole big group that went back. So he decided to go, but he was the only one of his family that went over. He didn't have anybody over here.
And he didn't have any reason to go back to Sweden either. His parents had probably died.
Oh, they died. His mother died when he was 6 years old.
Oh, I see.
And his father died when he was about 12. And that older brother took over the farm. And mm-hmm. So he really didn't have anybody.
Or stay with.
Or no.
And I suppose the interest to go back then is not that great either then?
I don't think so. After your family's gone, it really isn't the same.
Yeah. So you didn't have anybody to write to then in Sweden over the years since your parents died then?
No, I've been writing to some cousins once in a while. Like at Christmas time, I usually get one letter or I'll send them a letter. It's about the only time I write.
Have they visited you or those cousins?
No. They've never been over here.
And they are too old not to?
Oh, golly, yes.
You didn't think about it?
That's too late.
Yeah. So you've been here a few years then, 1923 and 1935?
Yeah.
So if you look back now, has it been easy years or?
Yeah, it hasn't been too hard.
Too hard.
Because it looks easier, I think, after it's all, well, after you've gone through it, then it is when you're right in it.
you don't know what's going to happen the next day.
That's just it.
But when you married and the Depression was over and everything was.
Yeah, things were going.
And your husband, he had a job. All the way until retirement?
Yeah.
When did he die?
He died 1966.
Oh, 66?
So it's 20 years since he died.
Uh-huh. Oh, and he was much older than you?
About 16 years.
16 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So he lived to a pretty high age.
Yeah, he was 82, I think.
Uh-huh. That's right. And now you still belong to Vasa Order of America?
Yeah.
Go to their meetings and...
I go pretty regularly. I did go a couple of times when it was bad weather, but I usually go.
Uh-huh.
Because Margaret and Nils are awfully nice, they usually call me and...
They live close by.
Yeah. So, I can ride with them.
Oh, I was thinking about Björkman, but Nils, they live over... Oh, that's not too far.
No, they live on 12th.
That's right. But Björkman lives closer though.
Yeah.
And there are still a few Swedes around there. Do you know anybody that... some old Swedes? You only belong not to Vasa.
Yeah.
So who else that lives around, you don't know too much about them because you don't have a chance to meet them? Or
no, that's just that.
You don't bounce into them at the shopping market?
No.
Or shopping centers? So when you meet somebody there, you don't know if he's a Belgian or Italian or German?
It's hard telling.
It's hard telling, yeah. I forgot to ask one thing here now. When you came on Kungsholm to New York, you went from Gothenburg then?
Yeah.
To New York?
Yeah.
And you were alone then?
Yes.
And then you came into Ellis Island?
Yes.
Do you remember what happened there or...?
Yeah, we come in there. Oh, the people that told you how to go, you know, you come into that big building and there was raw seats in there and they had numbers on like 10, 12, 17, and I got into the number 17.
You had a mark on your dress then?
No, but it was...
No numbers?
No, it was numbers on those seats. And they just separate each one, they were going in different directions, I guess. And then when we were through, we just had to pass, or they looked at us and looked in our eyes and... Oh, I don't know, I don't remember all of it. I guess ask us some questions and things. Now they took us where we got the train, you know. I guess we had a boat and went to where we got on the train. And there was an awful lot of people going to Chicago, I remember. That was on the train, that's where I was on. And
so you didn't stay too long at Ellis Island then?
No, that went pretty fast to get through there.
Pretty fast?
Oh, yeah.
How did you eat now? Because you couldn't order any food or anything like that. Did they give you some sandwiches or a box or something?
No. I don't remember what we did on the train. We must have had something. We rode the whole night through.
At least you have felt some hungry feelings, but you can't remember it.
I can't remember.
And you didn't eat at Ellis Island either?
No. There was no food at Ellis Island.
Oh.
So they think they came through the train with some food. I can remember a guy coming and he had a lantern with him that he was holding in his hand coming through the train. Yeah, I guess they came through with some food.
Oh, I see.
Not too good a train. I mean, it was okay.
But you couldn't sleep on it, are you? Know,
no.
Shaking and
no. We were sitting up, but we rode the whole night.
Oh.
Got into Chicago in the morning. Sometimes in the morning, I don't remember exactly the time. But there was an awful lot of people going off at Chicago.
But you didn't have any with you. You were.
No. My sister came from Batavia and met me in Chicago.
Oh, she met you right there.
Yeah. So. But we didn't have any trouble at Ellis Island. It went easy and fast. But you didn't have any...
Problems.
They would look at your eyes. I don't know. There's one guy on each side. We would go in a line, like maybe two in a line. And there was one man on each side there that was looking through their eyes as we were going by, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. How about the Statue of Liberty now? You remember seeing that?
Yeah.
Coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know anything about that before you came?
Oh, yeah.
You read about it in school?
Oh, yeah.
Well, your sisters and brothers.
Yeah. Yes, and I had an uncle that had been over here 5 times.
So he saw her, seen her every time.
He was over here 5 times, but he's finally ended up in Sweden.
5 times?
He comes over here and he stayed for a while, and then he decided to go home, and then he'd be home for a while, and he decided to go back again. He went over 5 times.
So he was restless then. Did he marry eventually? Or?
Yeah, he married. He was about 45 years old when he married in Sweden.
And stayed then for good.
Then he rented a farm and stayed in Sweden. Oh. So he finally ended up there.
So he was, he couldn't decide where to stay.
Yeah, I guess he was restless. And he still used to talk about it, how much fun it would think it would be to come over here and see like my brothers that was over here and my older sister and that. To just come over here and see the people over here again. I mean, it still was in his blood. But he was married and he had to stay put, I guess. So.
So the marriage stabilized him?
Yeah, it did.
No.
And he had been here in America for quite a while. Went home and he got married and got settled down. But he still would want to come over here, but his wife wouldn't go. I mean, she wouldn't go with him, so he just had to stay home. He had three boys. So, but he still had it in his blood. He thought he would want to be over here. So I guess it is hard to be really settled down after you once been in another place. You get restless. Feel like you belong in both the places. Yeah.
It's hard to decide then.
Yeah.
Your decision not to emigrate, what do you think they came from? From your brothers or sisters or the letters coming over?
Well, I tell you, my oldest sister that was here wrote home and she wanted another sister that was in Sweden to come over here. And she didn't want to go. So then I decided I might just as well go.
So, just like that?
So I just went.
So you never actually thought about it then?
No.
Spur of the moment. You took her ticket and...
Well, I had to. Of course, you had to go to the minister and get your utvandringsbetyg or stuff like that.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't say much. He gave it to me.
He was so used to it, I suppose, oh, many people leaving.
Yeah. So,
well, I'm sure he wondered, though, you know, so many young people leaving all the time.
Oh, golly, yes.
A lot of them left.
Yeah.
I suppose every other house now in your community, in Gårdvita and
Solstedt. It seems that there was always somebody that had somebody over here.
Uh-huh.
When I grew up. I mean, of all the families, they always had somebody over here in one way or another.
So how old were you now when you heard America the first time? You were probably just a little girl.
Oh,
because they talked about getting letters from...
Some people came home from America, some people that knew my parents, and they would stop me and talk about America.
And then you listen in?
Oh, sure. One guy came home and he had a guldkrocke, and he opened the lid, you know, and oh, we thought that was so fancy. Yeah.
Oh. Did you get any gifts from the United States of your brothers and sisters? Because they were much older than you were.
Yeah, well.
Do you remember they sent anything to you?
They used to send money at Christmas time.
Oh, money?
Yeah.
Oh. But no dolls or...
No, No.
How about during the First World War? It was very... there was poor, you know, in some households in Sweden at that time. You were on the farm, though. So you were probably not too hard set, but they didn't send any coffee or sugar for the United States at that time. Do you remember of?
Any sugar to us?
Yeah, during the First War they sent any coffee and sugar for
No, them. They didn't.
They didn't?
No.
You don't remember they did it to other
I can't places. Remember that.
Because Second World War they sent home coffee.
Yeah, I know they did. I know I sent too.
Yeah, but you can't remember if something was done in the
19th. Not in the First World War. I couldn't remember. We never got anything, I know.
Because we had, old enough to remember.
We picked one around soon, you know. We had to go and get some, we could get so much sugar, so much coffee, and that you have to go on that.
So, but you can't remember any packages coming?
No. I can't remember anything, getting any packages.
Because there could have been a time, you know, when it was needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were still at home then?
Yeah, I was 14 years old when the war started. I remember.
Do you remember how the church bells?
I remember we were out raking hay or something, and we could hear the bombing out that they were doing, but we thought it was a maneuver. Because we were quite far away from the Österhöhe. But the Germans, they were out there fighting, and we didn't know it was the real thing. We thought it was just maneuver they were having.
They didn't ring the church bells, though?
No, I can't remember.